Compliance Podcast. This is your host, Jason Poblet, coming to you this time from Florida Space Coast. We are not at our headquarters up in Virginia. We're down at the warmer location in Central Florida. We have today with us Catherine Sweden out in Luling, Texas, mother of Mark Sweden, an American unjustly detained, held hostage, or as I call him, a political prisoner in communist China for over a decade. Last year was a pretty big year for Mark, and we've had Catherine on the show before. Catherine, how are you doing?
Hi, Jason. Thank you for having me.
Well, thanks for joining us again. We're going to talk a little bit about what happened last year because there was a lot of news in Mark's case. And for people who are not familiar with this, we will put a link in the program notes so you can learn a little bit more about Mark's case and what happened to him. But ultimately, take these three things away. One, he's unjustly detained. Mark went in as a political prisoner. Went in as a businessman. Today he's a political prisoner. Again, some people may disagree with that, but that's what's happened. And after this show, you'll understand why. He's been in there for more than a decade, and he currently has been suffering from various health ailments. He's being treated brutally by the Chinese Communist Party, and his mom has essentially been waging a single-person campaign for years to bring her son home. Now, last year, there were a few big things that happened in Mark's case, including a pair of congressional resolutions that were passed in the House and the Senate. We'll provide notes, and the notes will provide a link for those resolutions. There was also some more visits, good visits, by America's ambassador to China, Ambassador Burns, who we publicly commended for his efforts. That was probably the first time ever that Mark had met with a U.S. diplomat or even a consular official, because the Chinese do not allow it. But Ambassador Burns, carrying out the request of the president, has made this case a priority, it seems, and it's about time. It's a little bit late, but it's about time, and this is not a Democrat or Republican issue, my friends. This has been going on for many years, and if we want to pass blame, there's plenty of blame to go around, both political parties, many presidents and Congresses, but that's changing. And then last year, again, we've seen Congress more engaged. We see the president more engaged. Unfortunately, in April last year, the Chinese Communist Party, in their kangaroo court system, upheld his death penalty, even with a 2-year suspension on the death sentence that's been imposed on him for a crime he didn't commit. And the State Department expressed their, you know, perfunctory disappointment, but ultimately, Mark is still in there. And we're going to talk to Catherine today about that. Several things that also happened and that Catherine can fill us in on. Catherine, how are you doing? Merry Christmas. Happy New Year, belated. Although we have been talking.
Thank you.
We have been talking throughout the holiday season, but, you know, we just stopped celebrating Christmas yesterday, right? Because that's what us Catherine,
that's right.
So, yes. And tell us a little bit about how you're doing before we jump into all this. How I know you've been waging this single person campaign there for a long time. How have you been? How was your 2023?
Well, it was sadly disappointing because after the problems in the Middle East and of course the hostages there. It appears that Mark and others that were hostages long before have just been forgotten. Mm. Whereas Congress was constantly responding to me, visiting me. Spiha visited me, our local congressman, Senator Cruz. People were visiting and giving me information, although not very much, on Mark and his situation. And so I spend a lot of time online. I don't sleep at night. I spend a lot of time doing research. I haven't even seen a picture anywhere for Mark for 11 years. So 2023 was important, number one, because of the meeting that President Xi and President Biden had. During that meeting, Mark was whisked away from detainment center to Dongguan prison, a little bit further north. That was not known to me until the consulate called me and said he's been there for a while.
Catherine, can I jump in there a second? I want folks to understand what Catherine just said, because she said a lot, and I want folks to understand where Mark is. This is not some regular prison, okay? And the Chinese didn't do Mark any favors by moving him there. They just moved him around, I believe, because of pressure by the U.S. government, especially when Congress starts to focus, which is why we urge people here at the Global Liberty Alliance to come see us. In most cases, it makes no sense to stay quiet because these governments only understand one thing, especially the Chinese. So he was moved from one facility to another facility that, according to the Laogai Research Foundation, that has done a lot of work in studying the Chinese prison system and their labor system. Where Mark is right now is much like the place he was at before, except a little more compartmentalized. And there's forced labor. The prisoners are routinely beaten. And just like at the other place, there was a silk flower factory connected to the prison facility where the prisoners are forced to make flowers exported here to America. And American companies are buying those flowers. This facility is not some type of a easy place for Mark to be. It is a very difficult place for Mark to be. According to German ex-prisoners who served time in this facility, these people were forced to work 9-hour days, 7 days a week. Some of them are manufacturing Porsches, Samsonite luggage, all sorts of stuff that make it into the free flow of trade in the world. So this is not an easy place for Mark to be. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I wanted people to understand where Mark has been all this time. So go ahead, keep jumping in and tell folks a little bit about how Mark was housed also at that prior place, some of the stuff that was done to
prior
him.
Prior to the prison, he was in a detainment center, which is unheard of for that long. He's the longest an American has ever been detained in China, 11 years, where he slept on concrete. He was starved. He's lost half of his body weight. He's lost he always took immaculate care of his teeth and, you know, his person. And he's lost 15 teeth. He has abscessed teeth. He broke his hands 5 times, 7 times. So he has, he's been in dire straits. And even the State Department calls him a Renaissance man because they don't know how he survived it this long. He's been begging for medical care, a medical exam. That last time he had one was 9 years ago.
Wow.
So that facility, albeit, it was very small. Sometimes there were 15 people in the same room, all sleeping on concrete. Mark continued to do his artwork, to write letters. I have maybe 5,000 pieces of letters and artwork that have been sent to me. And he's devout. He's Catholic, and they know it. He is. He had his rosary. He's had since he was little, and that was always on him. And they destroyed that. Destroyed pictures from home, letters from home, and his Bible. And recently, I just got a box from the consulate that contained two of his Bibles. But that's okay because it's in his heart and he knows he doesn't need those items to pray with, but he knows. And I think that's what's kept him going.
Let me ask you something about that, because last year we also had, well, we'll get into the Catholic aspect of this, and this is why I tell folks, I believe Mark's a political prisoner, and he has been, and he's been punished for several reasons. One, he was traveling on a blue passport, and he got involved or got roped into something that he didn't know because he was set up, and that's just the risk of going to China. But Mark is paying a high price because he's not going to admit to something he didn't do. So that's the second thing they're holding against him. So one, he's an American. Two, he's not going to sign a fourth confession. But number three, Mark's faith. As long as I've known Catherine, the one thing that has been a constant throughout my conversations with her, and prior to that, although I haven't known Catherine for 10 years, we've only met like 2 years ago, almost 2 years ago, was his faith and how important his faith was to this man. And from the very beginning, as Catherine learned information about Mark's incarceration, they went after his Bible, they destroyed it, they destroyed his rosary. But he stayed firm, he stayed focused. And I think that's a testament to you, Catherine, how you raised him, how your family raised him. What do you think about his faith? Because last year we had some folks, you know, Bishop Strickland at one point said something about Mark. Mel Gibson also has said some stuff about Mark, which is unusual because Gibson doesn't do much as far as social media goes, but he said something for Mark. How do you know? State Department may say he's a Renaissance guy, but I think he's just a blessed man who happens to have a strong belief in Jesus Christ and that he's going to make it through this and the Blessed Mother. How do you think he's handling all this? Since you're the one who knows him best, how has his faith got him through this?
Well, Mark will be the first one to tell me. He's written four small books. When I say books, it's only like less than a 5x7 little green book that he got, from the prison area. And he wrote them, and in there's so many quotes from the Bible. And in a nutshell, he said, "Mama, don't worry about me. If I die, it'll be the next adventure in my soul, in my life." Wow. So he's not afraid. He's afraid of losing family and me and coming home and just, you know, getting married to have a few dogs and some kids and walk on the beach. That's all he wants. And he specifically went there because we bought a house together and he wanted to renovate it, before he was to be married in about 8 weeks. And so he lost his everything, but he stays true to his faith in every single piece of artwork that he does, and he's gotten better and better at it. There is a piece that hangs in the State Department in Roger Carson's office, and every single one has a cross in it. He's done... Many of them that have like pictures of drawings of the Vatican, of everything has crosses on it, buildings and just everything. And so I know he still has his faith. That's all he has. And, you know, he actually asked before Christmas, which is a big deal. Advent and Christmas is a very big deal in my house. And he actually asked the consulate to take some of his money from the commissary, or take some of his money and buy me a gift and mail it to me for Christmas. And here's a man suffering and he's thinking about his mother.
Amen.
And so I did receive it wrapped nicely with a little card and It was an embroidery kit because he knows I like to do that. So,
you know, that just reminded me about you know, you said, here's a man suffering and thinking of his mom. It reminded me of when Jesus Christ was on the cross and his mother was at the foot of that cross. And he told John, hey, there's your mother and there's your son.
Yeah,
that's right. That's a powerful testimony that Mark. You know, Mark, I'm looking forward to meeting him. I think Mark is one of these people who you can probably easily get to know him. He seems to be like an easygoing guy. And
he has
a strong sense of right and wrong. And being in there, you've also described how he's come to the defense of his fellow prisoners, too.
Oh, yes. He's come to the defense many times of things that he knew were wrong. They tried to force feed a Muslim man, and they were trying to feed him pork, and he was on a hunger strike, but of course he wasn't going to eat pork. And so they knocked his teeth out in the front. They put a stick in there. They force-fed him pork and milk, and Mark was afraid he was choking to death, and he tried to stop them. Of course, he was beaten back, and they just threw the poor man in the corner and left, and prevented Mark from trying to help him. But he always, you know, defended the smaller people, the people that he thought were right, and but there's only so much you can do, you know, when you're in that cell. And
I'll take it out on you.
So it's really, really a bad thing. I don't know myself how he's managed this long.
Let me ask you something. Well, I think he's managed this long because, again, he's a man of faith. You raised him well. You and your husband did. Your late husband did. You've kept, you know, he was out there doing business. I mean, his life was ahead of him, and he was getting ready to start a new chapter of his life. And I could see someone who travels and did what he did. I mean, I can see him being a very curious fellow, and I could see someone like that being a good person within the prison and not yielding an inch because he's not going to compromise his soul for the communists, for those people there. He's just not going to do it. And I think that's what's kept him going. Yeah.
And he was like that before he went. He was always, I asked him one time, we always had a bunch of his friends and people and relatives and all that over at my house, you know, during the holidays and Thanksgiving. And he would gravitate to old people and little kids. And I said, Mark, your guys are fixing to go out and play football in the front yard, you know, and I said, why aren't you sitting with them and talking? And he said, well, because Mom, you don't learn anything from them.
Mm.
They're all about the same age, you know. And he was reading War and Peace in the eighth grade, and it wasn't even an assignment. So he's that and his upbringing and his faith have really paid off in his life with this tragedy. And my question is, why isn't anybody, at first I thought there was progress being made. But now I don't hear from anyone, the State Department, the press, the consulate. There's a dead silence.
Let's
now they're supposed
that.
To visit him January 19th.
Let's talk about that for a minute. And last year, the Secretary of State, Blinken, he went to China, and it was a pretty comprehensive trip. And there were some other pre-trip meetings. And according to public news sources, of course, a lot of times when we work on these cases, the State Department and the government generally will not share much with, even with the lawyers. I think they have this awkward relationship sometimes with us. They love us or they hate us or something in between. Nothing personal. I understand. But supposedly he mentioned Mark during this trip, along with some other Americans. Some of us were hoping that as a gesture, they'd allow Mark to leave, especially after a decade of this horrible treatment he's been going through. I know Senator Ted Cruz at the time, and so did Congressman, several congressmen, some representatives in the House, Mike McCall, the chairman of the Foreign Affairs Committee, and some others, raised this case with the Chinese and with the administration. But nothing came of that exchange, that back and forth. Let me ask you something. You've seen a lot of people come in and out of the hostage situation in many countries. Some of these cases are solved in months. Some of them have been solved in maybe 2 or 3 years. What do you think happens or has happened in Mark's case where we can't seem to get the U.S. government to prioritize his release?
Well, I have to say, being he is a political prisoner, when he was first detained, they took one look before they even asked him his name. They took one look at his blue passport and took him in for questioning, and I never saw him again. So what I'm thinking is, it seems to me like there's a lot of cherry picking going on. And something about China that the White House knows, but we don't, that being a political prisoner, and it's not just Mark, but, you know, I don't understand it myself, but I have an idea. And China is, we're still doing a lot of business with China, whether people want to believe it or not. We're doing a lot of business in trade. There are ways to get Mark, to get negotiations going in a different direction to get him out. And it's almost like the China has us as a hostage, and we're not being tough enough, strong enough to say no. We're coming to get him out, have him ready. And the consulate response to me is, well, the ambassador's response to me is, well, if we do that, if we say that, they'll just disappear him before we have a chance to go get him. And I don't think that's true. I think that the Chinese people respect strength. And we have a lot to offer in trade, and we have a lot to offer, you know, the whole world. And, you know, we're strong ourselves. And I don't understand why China is the one country that's being, that we're backing down from. And in the case of, you know, the Russians, you know, I understand. Negotiations are tough with them, but and the other ones, you know, Syria, Iran, Iraq, there's many, many hostages that aren't even declared wrongfully detained yet, but there's nevertheless, they're hostages, and there needs to be more of a, you know, investigation as to why they're not letting Americans in China go, why they're not opening the exit bans. It has to be something big, and I think China holds us hostage for some reason.
You know, last
I don't
year,
know what it has to do with Biden.
No,
but that's how I feel.
You're right, and it's a long, I guess one way to look at it is that maybe there's some economic interest that at least many years ago used to be a lot more important to politicians and lobbying groups in DC, and probably still are. I think there's a lot of economic concern, a lot of trade going on. You know, we go into all these stores, a lot of stuff made in China. Folks, it's slave labor, it's there, it's happening.
Yeah.
And
I just I just received, my food comes from our local food bank. I only get $19 a month in food stamps on Social Security. Things are very tight. So yesterday I was opening up the box that they came and gave me. Six of the cans, canned corn, peaches, tomatoes, applesauce, says distributed by, and it will give you the name of an American company. And then when you turn it around, it says made in China at the bottom.
What?
I don't understand that. We have plenty of apples here to make applesauce, but 50% of our apples comes in foods come from China. Green beans, peas, corn. I mean, our farmers are suffering. Why are we importing that stuff? Those companies that say distributed by but made in China need to be admonished, and they need to be stopped from importing this. So I, for one, won't eat it because I don't know what's in it. And what other perfect way would it be for them to do a cyber vegetable, I'll call it. What else could they do besides us bringing that stuff in, eating it, and getting sick?
I mean, you'd be
you'd
be surprised, Catherine, how much food we import from China that's processed over there. I think if you look at some of the studies, we've talked about this before, and we'll provide a link in the podcast notes on this so people can research this on their own. But we're talking about apple juice, tilapia, 80-90% of our vitamins, I think, cod. So much of processed stuff that we buy from the Chinese, and I don't know why we do it. I think it's frankly sad, considering how much food we grow in our own country. And if we have to pay a little more for American processed food, we should be paying a little more, but maybe we shouldn't be subsidizing and doing so much and distorting markets, and maybe not creating this little happy place for the communist Chinese to do this sort of thing. I mean, your son was on a list in November of last year. We're talking about the Biden administration, but Congress is finally kicking in some support for Mark, and after a decade of little or no action, they're finally doing stuff. And the Chinese commission, we're talking about trade and all this stuff, that Chinese commission put your son on the list of political prisoners that are being held in China. The one thing, though, that I'll say to folks is that we have to start prioritizing Americans and U.S. nationals before we start fighting for the human rights of everybody else. And that's the one thing the Chinese, the Chinese don't care if you start calling them out on human rights of their people. It's they're going to ignore you. They don't care. They're going to persecute their people. But if we would save our political capital and go after our people, and the reason I mentioned that list is that list only had, I think, three or four Americans on it. Your son was the only one who'd been there more than a decade. But then if you look at the list, there are a whole bunch of non-Americans on that list. So we basically dilute the power of these campaigns because we don't highlight our own people. Think about this. You mentioned Israel You mentioned Israel, or the war in Israel and the hostages in Israel. I'll say the Israeli Foreign Ministry, I think the U.S. State Department can learn a thing or two from the Israelis and the Foreign Ministry. And their Foreign Ministry, their State Department, they're producing videos, Catherine, with families of the hostages. When were you invited to report a video by the State Department about your son?
Never.
Yeah, I know. Never. That's why I'm asking you. Would you, as a family member, you know a lot of families, you talk to a lot of people, it's a phenomenal support network. What things have you learned in this long journey that that you would tell families going through this, should or shouldn't do? Should our government be recording videos with family members of hostages? Should they be talking about them? You already said, yes, I agree with you. In most cases, they should be talking about them. But what things do you recommend when you see these families struggling with this that you'd like to see happen for Mark and for other families?
Well, the first thing is they need to recognize us, which Biden administration has never done. They haven't called the families, a few maybe, but there's an agenda behind that. Hmm. And I believe it's votes with election year coming up. But besides that, they need to be more open to Americans and American nationals than anyone else, because this is America. We cannot police the whole world. We have to, you know, support our Americans and our, I mean, the best thing about America is our patriots.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing Mark is and will never deny, and been punished severely for not denying his country. And but back to the question you said, we have to support them. The government has to do better. I saw Spiha officials in Israel, and they were supporting Americans, and that's great. But I hear the same speeches over and over again. You're our top priority as an American, an American national. You are our top priority. And then they go 6, 7, 8 months without saying a word. Mm. I can probably tell you word by word for word what Spiha is going to say at their next meeting regarding American hostages. But it's not right. We have to remain the number one strongest country in the world. And if we can't show that we back up our people and we're not going to stand for them being taken as hostages anymore, then, you know, what are we doing here? We're not the guardian of the galaxy, where
right.
We've got to police and negotiate with every single country. We have to come first. Our military, our farmers, our land has to come first. And I think what's happened is the government has gotten so big in D.C. It didn't used to be that way. There was a bunch of young guys that started this country and wrote the Constitution. They weren't all that old. And all of a sudden it went from a small fraction of people fighting the British to all of a sudden thousands and thousands of people, and the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing. But the common denominator is we need to support Americans first.
Let me ask you something.
Let these countries handle their own.
Let me ask you something about that. And sorry about the, I wasn't interrupting you. There's a slight delay in
That's
the signal.
Okay.
You mentioned putting Americans first. And I agree with you, the government's way too big. And there's a lot of stuff they're doing that they shouldn't be doing. And we need to clamp down on this. Your son's case is case in point. We have a State Department. It's called the U.S. State Department, not the World State Department. And it seems
exactly.
Like, you know, anytime they say something over there, it's to talk about the human rights of everybody else. And then our stuff just gets put on a shelf somewhere. And only when families, I mean, I know a family that was doing not a hunger strike, they were doing a sit-in in front of the State Department because they refused to meet with them. No family of an American unjustly imprisoned should be sitting outside the State Department or any government agency to get the attention of their government. You have to meet with them, whether you like it or not. But, you know, in the case of Mark, I think about this, Obama, Trump, now Biden, that's three presidents. We're also talking about several Congresses during that time, because there's a new Congress every 2 years. And
right.
It shouldn't be this hard. Catherine shouldn't have to be going to meetings and talking. I mean, she could write a book about, in fact, she said something just now that she can tell you what they're probably going to tell her at the next meeting is because she's heard this before. And our system, by the way, has a lot of great people in there. I know there's a lot of good people, FBI agents, who work on these cases, people at the State Department who work on these cases, people in Congress who work, they want to do more. I know there's people in our military who want to do more. And I know people in our military who, if they were allowed to do certain things, they will be out there saving Americans, but they're held back because of bureaucracy, because of inertia, because of lack of leadership, because we've lost our way. Our country's lost its way. What's your message for these people?
That's correct.
I mean, what's your message for these people?
Remember Benghazi.
Remember Benghazi, that's right. And by the way, Benghazi, we still don't know. We still haven't held to account the people who did that to our diplomats. And look what they did to our diplomats in Cuba. They started, you know, doing that sonic attack on them over there.
Exactly.
What do you think of this statement? If you think if America focuses first on people like Mark, do you think we get a lot more done in China if we just focused on Mark and the three or four other Americans that are there?
Absolutely. And this is why I wrote letters to not just emails. I've called, written letters, been on Twitter for the members of APEC, those bigwigs that were attending that meeting because of trade in their pocket. And I've written them letters and said, look, did you know that this is happening? Were you even made aware of it? And why aren't you speaking up? Because actually, you know, the reason why there's an exit ban and there's people being held hostage is because they can in China. They can. And it would be a lot better for everyone if they would cooperate and, you know, free any hostages that are in China, open the exit bans, and these people would be more comfortable to do trade. And that's all anybody wants. But the economy in China is so bad right now that people are leaving the big cities to try to find work. And they don't care. And the reason is, why would they pay somebody to do manufacturing in China and get paid for it when they can take more people and detain them for silly things like picking quarrels? That's one of the laws. Why would they hire people to work there or invest in companies there when they can do it for nothing with detainees that are slave labor? This is why their people are leaving, trying to find work, because they give it to slave labor.
You know, when Mark was at the other place, you mentioned slave labor, and reportedly...
Right.
We're not going to get into all the details of something we're working on, but reportedly we can talk about that in that facility where Mark was at, there was a silk flower factory connected there. And supposedly the prisoners were saying they saw Walmart and Hobby Lobby signs in the factory.
Right. There are, and I have documentation, there are big signs above. Professional signs are not just written on cardboard that say Walmart and Hobby Lobby. And what they do is the slave labor makes these silk flowers. I actually have a sample of them. And they make them. They're written into, they're watched as to how many they make, if it's done right or wrong. They monitor those people. And they make very little money, and the money that they do make, if they want coffee or cigarettes or whatever, they have to purchase, they have to do slave labor for something as simple as, you know, Coca-Cola or, coffee. But that's the sign above. And if those people, they work 12 hours a day, their fingers are, you know, bloody and mixed with glue. And if they don't do it right or they don't do enough, there's a tally that's kept. I have proof of that. And there's a tally that's kept, and those people are put on what they call a clothesline at night and beaten. And you better believe the next day they're doing their job right or they're disappeared. Nobody sees them again. But these, we're talking about thousands of people doing this. Every silk flower you see has been done from scratch. Every religious item you see at Hobby Lobby, which they're not even open on Sunday because they tout their religion, but They're all made by slave labor. And, you know, statues of Mary and Jesus and nativity scenes, you just look at the bottom and it says made in China. At least they're saying it's made in China. A lot of them say distributed by, and that's another law that I'm trying to get changed, a bill to go to Congress to say if you import and you put distributed by your company, you have to put where it's manufactured, because most people do not read the scan codes. But if you decipher the scan codes on the back, you know where it's made exactly.
Now, Catherine, we've talked about this before also. You've become an expert on a lot of things China, especially manufacturing and things that happen. I know you have a background. You used to work in the private sector with a defense contractor, so you know a lot about supply chains. And it's a phenomenal idea. It's an idea we've given to several, as an educational piece, to several congressional committees. Catherine's idea, we'll talk about that in a second. I want to get back to Walmart and Hobby Lobby before we jump to your idea. But Walmart and Hobby Lobby have been put on notice. We provided them information, and we can't get into all the details here about some of this, because we want them to know that we know that one of two things is probably happening. Either the Chinese Communist Party is using Walmart Hobby Lobby signs to motivate workers and enslave them and do bad things to them, or they are knowingly working with buyers who are using these prison labor camps to build stuff here that's exported here to America. So next time you walk into a Walmart or a Hobby Lobby, and I've seen those Hobby Lobby silk flowers. As soon as Catherine told me about this a few years ago, I went to a Hobby Lobby and I took a look at them, and she was right. Everything was stamped made in China, and you start looking at the code at the bottom and you could track it back to where it's been. You can find this stuff, folks. It's out there. And Hobby Lobby, if you're going to use your faith and put it out there, again, I'm not a big fan of mixing faith with business. You should just run your business the way you want to treat yourself. You shouldn't be buying this stuff, okay? Why are you buying and using this slave labor, if that's what you're doing, and passing it off as that's wrong. You shouldn't be doing that sort of thing. So if you're doing it, stop doing it. Because it's not right.
Because people don't know. And that's one thing that has to be spread and known. But when you talk about Congress, since that resolution came out demanding Marx released, everybody put so much work into those bills. And though an HRES 90 came out, I even have it framed on my wall because one of Senator Cruz's people, Congressman Cloud brought it to me. The congressman in Texas.
Oh, yeah, Congressman McCall. The chairman of the committee, yep.
Right. He brought that to me and a U.S. flag. And since that happened, I have never heard from anybody in Congress. Not Senator Cruz, not Cloud, nobody. And it's not for not trying, because I've sent letters, emails, called. And it's like, okay, we did our duty, now that's it. You know, you're on your own.
Well, you make sure they're going out. They're going to hear you. And again, we have a connection issue, folks, so we're kind of overlapping each other. I apologize for that. But they're going to hear you now, because we're going to make sure we share this with them and with a lot of other people. Tell us a little bit about that. We talked a lot about the State Department. We talked a lot about the Biden administration, Obama, Trump, all that stuff. Congress's role, though, is very important in all of this. And a lot of times we forget that it's not just the executive branch, but the legislative branch. The first, you know, the Article I branch in our Constitution here has a strong, and should have a strong role and be involved in these cases. I believe we should, every member of Congress, every senator, every representative, every senator who has somebody held hostage like Mark, should be talking about them every single day on the House floor until these people come home. But they don't do it.
Yes.
I don't know if it's because they don't want to do it, they can't do it. I have no idea. Back during the Cold War, before the internet, and I know the world before the internet, as does Catherine, we had members of Congress that would go on the House floor and they would do exactly that. Every day on the House floor, there's a one-minute statement time. And I don't know why they don't take advantage of that. Any member can go down in the well of the House and for 1 minute say something. You can cram a lot in 1 minute.
Right.
If only people That's would right. take advantage of that. And rather than talk about post offices and, I don't know, name your pet project, why don't they spend time and talk about people like Mark? So what's your, you know, we have about 20 more minutes. What's your advice to these representatives, these members of Congress? As you said, these bills are hard to do. They take time. These resolutions are not easy, but we need more than that. You want Mark home. What else could Congress be doing right now that they're not doing?
Okay. When I question them about what happens after a resolution is voted on unanimously, what happens to it? And they said, well, it's made part of Congress forever. And I said, okay, but what happens to the facts that you stated and what you want in that resolution? And they said, it goes to Biden's desk. And I said, okay, then what happens after that? Well, he decides what to do with it. So I, you know, have contacted many people in Congress, not just the ones that signed off on that resolution, but, you know, other members, too, that are very vocal. You know, Matt Gaetz and several of them that are so outspoken, they don't even respond. And so nobody in Congress, since that resolution came out, and since I was visited by, you know, congressmen, no one has contacted me back. So I stay on them all the time. I just keep it up because something's going to work. I've given them, you know, very many scenarios where we have people here that China wants back. We have people here incarcerated for horrible things, like the guy in California that was running a lab, and he's not even American. He's just an immigrant from China. He's running a secret lab that's filthy and horrible and has terrible diseases in it. Well, they busted him and they arrested him, and now what? You know, there's many, many people here that are incarcerated that China wants back, yet there's no discussion in the State Department or in Congress of trading these people back. Giving them money to release hostages, you know, is not working. They just continue to do it. So there has to be different measures, and Congress just ignores it. So I don't know what the solution is. You know, groups like Bring Our Families Home, James Foley, they're doing their best with what they have. But until this becomes national news, and I thought it would after the hostages were taken in Gaza, but it wasn't. It was just pushed on the back burner for those that have been there for so many years. I want to just stand up in front of Congress and say, why does this administration, why are we not standing up to China? Not just for the hostages, but for many things. Why aren't we building up our military? Why are we allowing them to buy land here? You know, for example, Sotheby's is an American institution. It's an auction house, very well respected. China bought it. There's many things that they own that they are allowed to. They've even invested in some cancer hospitals here in Texas. And, you know, enough is enough. We either need to stand up to them, and Congress needs to, like you said, even for a minute, they need to press this issue to let China know that we are the greatest country in the world. Mm-hmm. And we're not going to put up with them taking hostages, taking advantage. And also admonishing some of these companies that ignore America and what we stand for and continue to do business with them. As you know, that Ecuador just had a very big problem. I don't know if there's any hostages there.
Oh, but, I know about several cases of Americans. I'm not going to get into it here, but
I just saw that. There's a few there. Yeah, I just saw that, and it's horrible. You know, we need to stop. We need to stop discussing silly things in Congress and start a campaign of getting our hostages home and building up our military and supporting veterans. And, you know, there used to be factories that put people to work. Mm. You know, they were making military stuff. They were making all kinds of things to support our military, and they don't do that anymore. It's now outsourced, probably a lot of it in China. But, you know, what's going to happen? Something's got to give, and it's got to start with a strong Congress and with a strong White House and to make some demands. I haven't heard Mark's name mentioned in anything for a long time. And then I was curious as to why, when I send emails and I copy someone or I put at White House or at POTUS or at Secretary Blinken, my email stops. And I asked the consulate, why can't I send this to certain people? And she said, because it's vetted and it's flagged. So if they don't want to receive something from you, they flag it, and you'll either have to start all over or you'll have to take that person off of there.
Hmm.
And I don't even know if that's legal.
Go ahead. We've been talking with Catherine Sweden.
I have
an American. Sorry, go ahead. We got a signal overlap. Go ahead.
That is, I'm not even sure if that's legal, but. Someone is stopping people from discussing what's right about Americans, and we're too involved in other countries' business, and we need to get back to the basics, and Congress needs to, like you said, start mentioning things that are important. And I'm on a mission to get my son home, regardless what it takes.
We've been talking with Catherine Sweden, the mother of an American political prisoner in communist China, who's been unjustly detained, imprisoned as a hostage for almost 12 years soon. It's been a long time. Catherine, as we wind down this podcast, I want to, first of all, thank you for joining us again, and know that we're going to stay with you until this is done.
Thank you, Jason.
What words do you have for Americans who may be thinking, you know, but Catherine, there's so much, I mean, what can we do as Americans to help you or to raise awareness about, you know, your son's case or this whole problem with China? What should we be doing? You know, you always tell me we got to pray, and you're always reminding me about praying. That's important. But beyond prayer, and I know you'll get a lot of those, what can people do to help?
There is a GoFundMe out there for Mark.
Okay.
Since he's been moved to the prison, they no longer accept donations from the consulate, like warm clothes or bedding or no warm blankets, extra money for food. They won't allow the consulate to bring that to him anymore. He's got to buy it directly from the PRC.
Hmm.
And I don't know how much they charge, but there is a GoFundMe out there. Mark will be doing slave labor, like you said. 74 cents is what he makes. I believe it's per week or per month. The only way he can buy coffee. You know, people say that doesn't exist, and the Chinese don't want to admit it, but it does.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a GoFundMe out there for Mark.
We'll include that. We'll include that in the program notes as well.
Okay, and the main thing is notoriety. If people would just, you know, take a second to question these congressmen, question the White House. Why are these hostages still out there? Why? Are you afraid of China? Are you not willing to stand up to China? Is there something out there that we don't know about? And I often ask people, you know, if you woke up in the morning, like I did at 4 o'clock in the morning and saw the Gaza incident, if you woke up in the morning and you saw that, an attack on Washington or Florida or San Francisco, who would you want for president at that moment? You have to make that decision next year. And so people need to start talking among themselves and talking about insisting that Congress do their part and insisting that we put Americans first, because the strongest thing in America is a patriot. And so that is going to win wars, going to protect us. That's the strongest thing. I don't know if you want to put this in there, but, you know, they say insurrection, I say Tea Party. People rose up, and they rose up because they didn't want the British to tell them what to do. And that's what happened. And so, same thing. We need to be more conscious of our American patriots and stop worrying about politics. Politics are killing this country.
Now,
so
politics
we
are.
We need to get back to the basics.
Politics are. You're correct. I think politics has become way too coarse. I spent 30 years in the belly of the federal beast, and I can tell you, every year I was there, I thought, wow, we'd be shrinking government, and we just keep growing government. And we have to keep, you know, this is a good case, the case of Mark Sweden, over a decade, three presidents, so many Congresses. And this is the sort of case you're supposed to be rallying towards, an American, a political prisoner in communist China. And we spend a lot of political capital trying to help. I mean, during the Trump administration, they were talking about the Uyghur genocide. You know how much political capital that took to do that? And by the way, I know that's happening. But what, you know, you got to save Mark first. We can't save everybody all the time. We have to focus on our people. And I think the Chinese will respect us a whole lot more if we put some muscle behind our own people. And if they heard Mark's name every single day, they're going to get tired of it. They're not going to hide him. They're not going to do that. Well, it's too late. It's too late to hide him because everybody knows him in Congress now.
Exactly.
And that's why we sometimes urge families to speak up. Catherine, I think you've waged a great battle. I think you deserve some rest. You need your son home. And we need to do all we can to help you bring him home. But we're going to get this out there like we always do. And we're going to keep going. Hopefully we get you to come testify in Congress soon. Maybe it won't be needed. Maybe your son will be home by then, but because these Congress people are taking so long with that. But we want you to testify in Congress. They got to hear your story. And the president needs to meet with you. Maybe that'll set the Chinese straight that this is important.
Yeah, I never run out of options of what I could do next.
Amen.
So there's many things I've been told to stop it. You know, I've been threatened a couple of times. And that I still keep going because I need to see my son. I haven't seen him in 11 years. They don't permit me to talk to him in 5 years. And so if I have to go to Washington, no matter how or where, or sit outside and wait, I will do that. Mary and I have many things in common. Holy Mary has many things. And I ask people, would you give your child, would you give anything for your child? Would you sacrifice your life for your child? Well, that's what Jesus did for us, his children. And so we honor Mary in that respect.
Amen.
And, you know, people say, why do you worship Mary? And I say, we don't. We respect her as a mother. And those who have children can understand. Those who don't have children may never understand, just sympathize. But I'm done listening to the sympathy and the empathy from the State Department, and I just move forward as much as I can to get them to change.
Thank you, Catherine, for joining us today. It's been a pleasure as always, and you can come back here anytime. We've been talking to Catherine Sweden, whose son Mark is a political prisoner in communist China. Please support her. Click on that GoFundMe. Catherine, we'll talk again very soon.
Thank you so much, Jason. I appreciate all your help. God bless you.